I am constantly amazed at the talent, the skills, the giftedness that God has given to these in our congregation who lead us in worship. Musicians, I sing the way I preach without notes usually, but I enjoy listening to that music. It means so much to me. Thank you. Thank you all. You were each given a sheet of paper when you came in this morning. If you have not been given it, it's too late now. I think we're out. Do we have any more? But we want to, we give that to you as a meditation as we come in. Martha has done a marvelous job in putting that together and all the details of our foot washing service together, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have a foot washing service, and I want to explain that to you a little bit. But I want to, Martha has caught this third of the season, sore throat, stuffy head, that has been accompanied by laryngitis, and I have it too, but unfortunately my voice still works, so we're hoping maybe by next week I'll be hoarse too. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles or you want to follow on the screen, I want to read two passages of Scripture. They're rather lengthy, but they are important for us to understand what's going to be happening today. The first from Matthew, the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 20. And then the mother of Zebedee's son. By the way, Zebedee is a word that means thunder, kind of like thunder, a peal of thunder, a clap of thunder. And obviously there was a reason for that because of the temperament of the family. But the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, which is a very Mideastern plea. It was a significant request she was making. If she was just going to say, hey, do me a favor, she would not have knelt. So she knelt down, and she asked a favor of him. What is it that you want, he asked. And she said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. To which Jesus responded, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered, which I thought was kind of stupid because they don't know what the cup is yet. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. Those places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. And then the ten heard this. They were indignant with the other two brothers, and they called them together, and Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servants, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Whew. Hard words. And they get even harder when you turn over to John, the 13th chapter, the upper room experience. Remember the Seder meal we had just before Easter? This was after that meal. And just before the Passover meal, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father, look at this, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. And he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Good old Simon. He always could put his mouth before his brain, couldn't he? But Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. You don't know now, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you'll never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." "And then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. The whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he had said not everyone was clean. And when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent me. Now you know these things. You will be blessed if you do them." You know, we have a discipleship problem in the church today. Not in this church, well, yeah, in this church, but in the church, the capital C church. It's a discipleship problem because we have been following Jesus for years, many of us. We've been saved and sanctified and petrified and homogenized, pasteurized and putrefied. We've been around here since the first brick was laid, and our great-grandfather donated that light bulb. I'm not going to change it. You know, that type of thing. Well, that was the same way with the disciples in Jesus' time. They'd been following him for years. Yet, they didn't get it. And some of us don't get it either. So Jesus literally spells it out. That's not good enough for us. We're like, we have become so American that we've forgotten the meaning of following a king and being obedient. We want to serve the Lord, but only in an advisory capacity. We only want to tell the Lord how to do what it is we think he ought to get done, in the manner he ought to get it done, on the timetable we want to get it done. To our great shame. To our great shame. You see, the problem is, we think in order to serve the Lord, we have to know the battle plan. We have to know which army is going to attack from which flank and who's going to go. And okay, now I want to know who else is with us here on this. We don't know how to obey and just do it. We have to talk about it and we have to plan it and we have to know what God is going to do with it. And God says, "You don't understand now, but later you'll understand. You don't have to know everything right now, but your very ignorance about what's going to happen will be a serendipitous, God-like surprise when it's finally revealed to you. And you'll look back and say, ah, God's timing was perfect. And yes, I went through some hard times, but God brought me through in the end." Yeah. We want to know the battle plan. We want to know how it's going to work. And we want to know, like Mrs. Zebedee, what's going to be our reward after we do what God wants us to do. Because if we don't think the reward's good enough, then why should we obey? If that's all I'm going to get out of it. I think sometimes we miss the meaning of the sacraments, the visible signs of God's invisible grace, the ordinances that we do because he did them. We don't always have to understand what they're about. We don't always have to know what's going to happen in the moment when we engage in the Lord's Supper or foot washing or child's dedication. We don't have to know everything. We just have to trust and obey and be obedient and do this because he did it and told us to do this in remembrance of him. I think we need to also understand that the biggest lesson on servanthood has nothing to do with reward. In our culture, good service is rewarded. It's given a high respect among our peers. It's given a financial a compensation. It's given some sort of prestige. It somehow has to have some sort of leadership position attached to it before we know we're going to serve. To which Jesus says, in all respect, he does. He says, you may not know now, but you will know later. Foot washing is about obedience. Not about knowing what it's about, not about understanding every moment of it, what emotion you will feel when you participate in it, when you engage in the foot washing by washing someone's feet, or even more humbling is having someone else wash your feet. You may not know all that about it. You may miss the whole point of it. But I think unless we engage in servanthood, visibly worked out in front of us, we never really get the point of the gospel. We continue to conform ourselves to this world's likeness rather than engaging in an activity that reforms us from the world's image. If we fail at servanthood, we fail at Christ-likeness. If we fail at servanthood, we fail at discipleship. If we fail at servanthood, we become religious without being righteous. Our religion becomes like a vaccine that inoculates us from further infection. So we engage in certain rituals without meaning. We need to understand the meaning of what we do. My friends, I need to tell you as honestly as I know how that I believe with you that the proper symbol for the Christian faith is the cross. But the proper symbol for the Christian life is the towel. When we dedicate a new class of governing boards at my former church that I pastored for 17 years, we would call them to the front of the church. We would pray a prayer of dedication over them. And we would give each of them a lapel pin that would just be a little image of a basin with water and a towel. And we would give each one of them a small hand towel that had our church logo on it. And it said, North Avenue Church Servant. We should all carry a towel. Every one of us. It is the symbol of Christian living. And it's not a matter of having to know everything about everything. It's a matter of simply obeying and letting God bless you the way he wants to bless you. Gary, would you come forward? I've asked Gary to participate here for a moment. What we're going to do is, and I'm going to wash Gary's feet. Gary, you're going to wash mine?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because I didn't take a bath this morning, so I need some help. Okay. And then I'm going to invite any of you. I'm losing my microphone. Hold on. And then I'm going to invite any of you, if you'd like to participate, women on one side, men on the other, and to come up and just, if you don't want to participate, nobody's going to go, na, 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 na. We're not going to do that. You may just want to observe. But if you want to participate, we invite you to do that. We have a tub here with warm water. We have towels for everyone. Towels here, we have enough. We got plenty. We got people who are going to help you in the transporting of water and things like that. But let's just observe what happens, shall we? Gary, as your brother in Christ, as a servant of Christ and of my fellow man, I want to wash your feet. If you were in an affluent home in a Middle Eastern country, there would be servants who would do this for you. We stopped in the home of a member of the Hussein government in Jordan, in Amman, Jordan. The man was very highly placed, but he was a Christian. And the first thing he did for 40 people, it was a little under 40 people, who got off the bus in Amman, Jordan that day, the first thing he did, as we walked into the courtyard around his house, he had us gather around the wall, and he and his wife had a basin. And each one of us got our feet washed by these very wealthy, highly placed government officials because they said we are first Christians and we are servants. It meant so much to me. I was almost ashamed that they would do that, but it taught me a lesson that even no matter how high this culture says you are, you're called to be a servant. Gary, I love you in Jesus' name. Thank you. You know I got a bad knee. An extra place that you can empty the used water. I confess that I was prepared for today and I didn't wear my boots. Just my moccasins. 80. I assumed the pastorate of the Church of God in Munster, Indiana. My first Sunday there was Palm Sunday, 1980. And there was a man in the congregation. I knew when I was being interviewed by the search committee and when I had met with the church, I knew that he was a retired pastor. He had been a bivocational pastor for many years, a sign painter. As a matter of fact, he and his wife were originally from the Jackson area. His name was Carlton Gall, G-A-W. And he assured me, now, I'm not in any way interested in being the pastor of the church, but I just want you to know you're welcome here. Don't be intimidated by a retired pastor in the congregation. Well, yeah, sure, right, uh-huh, I've heard that story before. And I'm him from the home office, and I'm here to help you, and the check's in the mail, you know. Well, come Maundy Thursday, we had our foot washing service. And Carlton very quickly got up. He was already, at that point, an old man, could barely kneel. He was older than I am now. That's pretty old. And he found the basin, and he came over to me, and he washed my feet that night. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. Because I think I got my feet washed with the water just as much I got my feet washed with his tears. And he said, we've been praying for the right man to come to this church. And you're an answer to prayer for us. And he washed my feet. And then I got and I washed his feet. And I reminded myself, why am I so jaded? Why am I so concerned about other people? God's in charge of this. I was there for 17 years as well. And invariably, every time Carlton and I looked at each other, there was that moment. We went back to that night when it all happened for us. He was one of the dearest friends that I've ever had. And it started because he humbled himself and I humbled myself. And we demonstrated our servanthood to one another. He was my greatest helper. You're going to look back on this time. You're going to remember something. Maybe it will be something entirely weird and off the wall, but it'll be yours. And you need to remember it. And you need to hold it dear. God will bless you as you become obedient Remember the cross of your faith, but remember the towel is about your life.